Well, the president has had a lot to say regarding guns. Let's talk about that with an acknowledged gun expert. John Lott is the president of the Crime Prevention Research Center, online at crimeresearch.org. And as an overview, did the president surprise you since this had been highly anticipated?
Right. I mean, they've been talking about this for months. Obviously, I suppose I was surprised just in terms of how far he went. I thought some of these rules basically requiring that you have to become a registered dealer for firearms with the federal government by just selling one gun, I guess that took me by surprise. I didn't really think that they'd be going that far simply because the existing law is so clearly written. If you read the statute, it says the people who are required to get a federal firearms license are those whose principal objective of livelihood and profits is through the repetitive purchase and resale of firearms. To say that somebody's principal objective of livelihood, meaning that, you know, their major time in their occupations, to go and say that that can be met by selling simply one gun just didn't seem like he'd be going that far. But, you know, I think he wants to just throw it to the courts and delay, and it's something that he's done before.
Talk about the gun show loophole, if you would.
Sure. Well, you have two different types of people who sell guns. You have these licensed dealers, and you have private individuals. A licensed dealer, whether they sell a gun at their shop or sell it over the internet or sell it at a gun show or anyplace else, even out of the back of their car, are mandated by law to have to conduct a background check when they go and they sell the gun. Private individuals don't have to in most states. In 32 states, they don't have to have a background check. If you sell your gun to your son or to a neighbor or meet somebody at a gun show and sell it to them, there's not that type of background check that's required. What's the gun show loophole claim is a little bit misleading because they're really not just talking about ending or making so you can make a private transfer on your own at a gun show. They basically want to end all private transfers, whether they be, you know, at your home, to your family, or to a neighbor, or at a, you know, some other place like a gun show.
What about mental health issues the president's gone after?
Right. Well, I mean, there's some scary aspects of this. So, for example, if you're on Social Security and you're getting help, you know, with your finances, you're in your 80s and you have a relative handle your computer for you, and so you give them power of attorney to handle that. The Obama administration wants to classify you as mentally defective and therefore not legally able to go and purchase a gun. So your name would be in the national NICS checks. There are other issues that are here in terms of having it so that mental health experts, when they see patients, if somebody has mental illness, they'll turn that name over to the federal government. You know, the discretion will still be at the hands of the individual mental health expert whether or not to do that, but there's going to be a lot of leeway there. And so when somebody goes and sees a mental health expert, they're going to be taking some risk that that person may decide, you know, that their name should be in there, in the list. And that may discourage people from going and getting mental health.
The president also talked about some high-tech tools, fingerprint detectors, and this sort of thing designed to make guns inoperative except by the legal owner.
Right. Well, maybe he's seen too many James Bond movies. I don't know. But the, you know, the notion is that if only the owner can use it, then, you know, if somebody steals it, they're not going to be able to go and use the gun. The problem, there's basically two problems with it. One is these technologies are flawed in the sense that problems can occur. So the one that's available today, the only one that's really available today, is that you have a watch-like device that you would wear on your right hand if you're right-handed, and it would send a radio signal to the gun that was there, and it's only when it was in, within a few feet, because it would be a weak signal, would the gun be able to be operated. The problem is that there's jamming technology that would be out there. And so police, there's no way they're going to go and use these types of guns because they'd be afraid that a criminal would activate a jammer and then the police would be disarmed, essentially. And the other problem is the cost. Those guns despite their flaws, cost about $1,800 to do it. These other things, like fingerprint readers, it's a lot more difficult to put a fingerprint reader on a gun than a cell phone, simply because you have the concussive shock occurring time after time when you fire the gun. And it can do real damage to the electronics that would be the fingerprint reader.
And finally, will this stand up in the courts?
I don't think so, for the reason that I said to begin with. I mean, you read the plain language there. I don't know how you can go and say somebody only has to get a license if their principal objective of livelihood and profit is through the sale of these firearms, to say, well, we're going to interpret that as you selling one gun if you buy it and sell it within 4 or 5 months. I just don't think that's going to happen. My own belief is that the real purpose of this is just to make it more costly for people to buy guns. You know, you're in Washington, D.C. The types of background checks that the president wants are enforced there. And if you want to go and transfer a gun from one person to another, it adds $125 onto the cost of a gun. That may not stop you or I from being able to go and buy it, but the types of people that my research indicates benefit the most from owning guns, law-abiding, poor blacks who live in high-crime urban areas, people who most likely be victims of violent crime, $125 added on top of the cost of a gun may make the difference between whether some of them are able to go and buy a gun for self-defense for themselves and their families or not.
John Lott at the website crimeresearch.org.